Join the conversation.
Join the conversation.
You're with Cape Talk.
Border Management Authority South Africa revealing that over a 10-day period during the Easter period, nearly 4,000 people were intercepted attempting to enter the country illegally. Joining me on the line now is Commissioner Dr. Michael Masiapato. Michael, a very good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Africa, and thanks for the invitation.
Absolutely. 2,403 of those intercepted did not have any documents at all. Another 1,019 refused entry for being undesirable, and 419 found inadmissible to enter the country due to various reasons. How do you get tipped off, for lack of a better word? How do you know that Africa Malane coming in from that border post is somebody who's undesirable or who might not have the actual paperwork?
Yeah, so maybe let me start by indicating that Africa, the majority of those without documents at all did not necessarily try entering through the port. Those are the ones who had fairly avoided coming to the port, and most of those were on the land, port of entry. And what they did, they actually tried to enter the country through what we call the vulnerable segment on the borderline. And on that basis, we do know those particular places, and those particular places are under observation by the border guards together with members of the SANDF. So what we then do is, as soon as we pick them up trying to come through, we then pounce on them and then arrest them. So that is mainly in terms of those that did not have documents at all. But those that we call undesirable, it means that the person was once, for example, in the country illegally, or the person tried to enter the country illegally. Then they were caught. When we deport them, we actually take their fingerprint and then we process them through our biometric movement control system. We then declare them undesirable, that they are banned to enter South Africa for the next 5 years. So if they can try in that period to come back, the system will pick them up. If they try even legally with proper documents, they will not be allowed in based on that undesirability. So it is picked up through the system. The inadmissibility is when somebody carries a document which is not valid, for example, an invalid passport. Because remember, passports must be machine readable. So if it is not machine readable, it's not valid. Or, for example, valid visa, for example. Or somebody coming from a yellow fever endemic country, they need to produce a yellow fever certificate. If they don't have it, they are not going to be allowed in the country. So it is those kind of categories that we have to deal with out of the 3,800.
Let me ask then a sensitive question. If those 2,403 know that you've identified the vulnerable segments of our border, as you call it, what's stopping them from moving to a different aspect of the border? Because I don't imagine you have enough personnel to cover the entirety of the border with the countries to the north of us.
So basically what happens, Africa, in this instance, is that you will note that initially we always had members of the SANDF who had always been patrolling the borderline. And that has been a challenge, in the sense that when you patrol, it means you have deployed a high mobility strategy, meaning that you are actually driving up and down on the borderline. So what they will do is basically, because this is the bushy area, as it were, they'll just hide in the bush, and then as you drive past, then they come behind you. And then obviously when you're on the other side, then they move in on the other side. So what do we do to complement each other since the deployment of the border guards? We then identify those vulnerable areas, and then we statically deploy the border guards and say, these five contingents, they stay here, another contingent will stay there, and then the Defence Force continues to do patrols, which is high mobility. So what it means is, as soon as they try to enter into the vulnerable area, then they get pounced by the border guards, and that is how we intercept a number of them. And we agree with you, Africa, that always they will try their luck and move to another vulnerable segment. And that is why the SANDF then assist in identifying further other vulnerable areas. You must remember, not every place is habitable or is walkable, because these are ordinary people. These are not like military or anything. These are ordinary people. Some of them are women. Some of them are just average teenagers and all of that, trying to enter the country illegally. So they will always use places where they can be able to walk, as an example. But again, it is not far from the port of entry, because they want to come back into the Atar. They want to come back into the N1, if we talk about Bedbridge. They want to come back to the N4, if we talk Lipombo, or the N8, if we talk about Maseru Bridge, for example. So that is basically the kind of strategy we use, and that is why we have this high number of interceptions.
Do we know where they are coming from? Do we gather that data at all? And I imagine, do you then speak to DIRCO, for example, to speak with their counterparts in those countries to say, guys, your people are trying to come through our borders illegally. Can we do something about this?
You see, Africa, in terms of the work that we do, you will note that the Border Management Authority Act gives us a 10-kilometer radius from the borderline into South Africa. All that area is declared a border law enforcement area. What it means is if we intercept somebody within that particular space, it is considered as a border law enforcement area. So we are able to do what is called direct deportation. So direct deportation means as soon as we catch them here, let's say it's Bait Bridge, 10 kilometers away from the port, we bring them into the port. So basically they are arrested and then we process them for direct deportation. What it means is we take their fingerprints, as I said, we declare undesirable, we declare them undesirable. Then we walk them through the vehicles, like the van, like they are arrested. We take them, let's say it's Bait Bridge, to our Zimbabwean counterpart, who are immigration officers also, and say, these are your people. They have been intercepted trying to come into the country illegally, and then we are now deporting them. Then they come in. If we intercept a Malawian in that area, we can't deport that person to Zimbabwe because it's not Zimbabwean. So we arrest that person, take them into the country, we hand them over to Immigration Inspectorate of the Department of Home Affairs. They then take that person to a place called Lindela in Krugersdorp, where they're going to put them there with the rest of the other people that were arrested inside the country, and they're going to deport them separately, because they need to deport them back to Malawi. Now, there is something that we call returns agreement. We've just signed returns agreement to the Minister of Home Affairs, Dr. Motsoaledi, with his counterpart in Lesotho. Returns agreement allows us, when we intercept somebody with our border with Lesotho, if that person is not a Mosotho, let's say it's a Pakistani or whoever, we can then deport them back to Lesotho. Lesotho will then deport that person at their cost. So that is the kind of relationship. So we don't need DIRCO to do our daily work, as it were. However, where we need DIRCO, and that is what we are continuing to engage with, is just overall discussions with our neighboring countries to assist us as we do this work to deal with this issue of illegal migration.
Which is good to hear. Michael, thank you very much. Dr. Michael Masiabato, Commissioner with Border Management Authority South Africa.